You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
New Zealand's rejection of a dirty boat is raising concerns about the country's new biofouling regulations. Indonesian ship DL Marigold was forced to leave the port of Tauranga earlier this month after authorities discovered its hull was covered with barnacles and tube worms. This was the first time the Ministry of Primary Industries had sent away a ship for biofouling. The incident has sparked international concern with its comparatively radical approach to biofouling enforcement. The Baltic and International Maritime Council recommend a voluntary ship management program that recognizes the natural incentive of ships to avoid biofouling, that being that it slows them down. The council says it doesn't support regulations on biofouling as they open up for potentially discriminatory and impractical regulations for the industry. Dr. Michael Gray, a fellow at International Maritime Representative Body Nautical Institute, says the changes come at a time when ship operators are already looking at cost-saving measures in the face of profit losses, including increasing fuel prices and profit losses. New Zealand, however, has a different position. I spoke with New Zealand Maritime Union spokesperson Alistair Reith for more on this.
This is a very welcome example of New Zealand's regulatory agency actually doing its job and enforcing regulations. There's way too many agencies out there which kind of focus on an approach some people call nudge theory, in which the focus is very much on, well, building friendships with the people who are employers or major operators in these areas and nudging them lightly and then doing nothing further. If you actually want these people to obey the rules, whether it's on health and safety or environmental regulations or anything like that, occasionally you need to make an example and enforce penalties.
Right, and I've heard some people raise the view that these rules don't necessarily need to be in place because there are natural incentives against biofouling. It slows down your ship and it's less efficient. I mean, do you think this is still a significant problem for New Zealand?
Well, to me, that just sounds like classic right-wing rhetoric about the invisible hand of the free market. I mean, it's nonsense. I think anybody who pays serious attention to this stuff knows it's nonsense. There's plenty of operators out there who do the job correctly and who do maintain decent standards on their vessels. There's others who don't. And this is particularly difficult in an industry where we've got so many foreign operators coming in who aren't subject, in many cases, to much in the way of laws, New Zealand oversight, New Zealand regulations. So, yeah, like I said, I think this is the only way to make sure that everybody plays to the rules. And it means that those people who are playing to the rules don't have to compete unfairly against people who won't.
So you're quite happy for this to be put in place in the fishing and in the shipping industry? You don't think the wrong people are going to get caught up by these? I mean, how practical is it to expect what MPI is expecting in this, do you think?
Well, look, if most people are already following the rules, then most people have nothing to worry about. The only people who do have something to worry about are people who aren't following the rules. And look, whether it's in this industry or in any industry, you need regulation. You need environmental health and safety, workers' rights, all the rest of it, and this needs to be enforced. So, yeah, we think it's a welcome change.
What do you think of MPI's handling of the DL Marigold in terms of it being sent away rather than allowing it to be cleaned in New Zealand waters? I mean, is that just something that has to happen with these ships once they arrive here and they're dirty?
I think it was quite decisive, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting, too, to look at how Fiji also played along. My suspicion is that there's an element of a test case here. There's been other vessels along the way, over the years, who have just been in an absolutely shocking state. And whether that is addressed by workers organising on these vessels, whether it's addressed by governments enforcing their own laws, we think it needs to happen.
I also spoke with Pete Thompson, MPI's Director of Plants, Food and Environment, about why New Zealand was stepping into relatively uncharted territory with these new biofouling regulations.
We are really concerned about the marine threats from vessels coming into New Zealand. Just about every marine pest we've got here has come in on a vessel, and it poses a really significant threat to fishing, aquaculture, our coastlines, tourism, that sort of thing. And so we feel, you know, there is a need to do something about it and to help the marine industry to take the right actions, because not everybody will do the right thing voluntarily.
Right. So when this does become mandatory, I mean, does MPI anticipate many ships to be breaking the rules on this? Or do you think this gradual implementation will ensure that really life just goes on?
We hope that most vessels will be responsible and will comply with the rules that we put in place without any problem at all. And in fact, you know, most vessels currently coming to New Zealand do manage their biofouling pretty well. But what we find is that there are people who will do the right thing voluntarily, and there are others who need a bit of encouragement. So the rules are designed to help shipping companies know exactly what's acceptable for New Zealand and know you know, what they need to do to come here, and potentially, you know, that there are consequences if they put New Zealand at risk. New Zealand, we are leading the way internationally on this. There are international rules that the world has signed up to, or guidelines rather, but we think we need to go a bit further. And So we're taking the lead, but there are other countries watching what we're doing, and we hear that they're planning to follow suit.
Yeah, I mean, there are guidelines, but from what I understand, they're not presented as anything but guidelines in terms of how they're actually implemented. I mean, the Baltic and International Maritime Council also has a set of guidelines, but doesn't recommend that biofouling is regulated. It only recommends a voluntary program. So why are we moving from voluntary guidelines to these mandatory, you know, enforced regulations?
I think New Zealand feels the need to have a more regulated approach than just guidelines, because we have so much to protect here. You know, we still have a relatively pristine marine environment. There have been some invasions of pests in the marine environment, but we're still in a relatively good place. And we feel that having guidelines just isn't enough. It's kind of like saying to people, we'd like you to keep to the speed limit, but we're not going to enforce it. And so, you know, we need to take that next step.
So when a dirty ship comes into New Zealand and it's found to be over the limit of biofouling, what is the procedure going to be? Because we've seen with the recent DL Marigold that was sent away from Tauranga, it then went to Fiji and then was turned away from there, and you know, there's some confusion as to where it's supposed to go. I mean, what are we going to do when these ships come to New Zealand and need to be cleaned but aren't allowed to be cleaned in our waters?
So I think the first thing to note is that that the reason we've got a voluntary or a transition period in place now is that we know that for some companies this is a big deal, and so we wanted to give them 4 years to prepare themselves and, you know, change their practices and get ready for it and be able to know what to do when these things come into force in May 2018. So, you know, so we've provided them with a good time to prepare for this. And then, you know, when vessels are approaching New Zealand, they will send us some documentation about what practices they've put in place. We'll check that, and we'll be able to provide them with some forewarning of whether or not we think they are going to be a problem. And so, you know, we had a recent situation where a vessel had been advised on two occasions that we felt they were pushing the limits. And so, you know, when we have that situation, then we'll take a look at the vessel, and if needed, then we'll ask them to leave. And, you know, I mean, it's more important that we protect New Zealand from the pests they're carrying than to just allow them to continue to operate despite the rules that we have in place.
So you don't think these incidents are necessarily going to crop up very often as long as people understand the rules that are in place?
Yeah, that's the intent of the transition period, to enable shipping companies to adapt and to be ready for when the rules are enforced. And we've seen some really proactive behaviour from a lot of shipping companies. They want to do the right thing, and you know, they are implementing our requirements in conjunction with the things they're already doing, so that they improve their fuel efficiency of their vessels by having clean hulls. So, you know, we think we're going to have a pretty good response, and that situations like we recently experienced will be rare events.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.